Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Popcorn Premieres. I'm your host, Logan Thompson, joined by our wonderful co-host,
Ethan Kaufman. Hey, hi, hello, everyone. How we doing today? Wait, this is a podcast. You can't answer me.
Yeah.
Dang.
You can mentally, and like we can use our telekinesis and like hear what people are saying right now.
Yeah, we have telekinesis. Yeah, that's like a special podcaster superpower.
I just heard somebody say that they're chronically depressed. So that person, I am very sorry.
Do better, person.
Yeah.
Feel better.
Yeah, I hope you feel better. Anyways, so let's talk about Oscar stuff first,
yay!
Right?
Woo!
Woo! SAG Awards. Ethan, start us off.
SAG Awards. So this weekend was like the last... Really the last weekend before the Oscars that we have major precursors, and
yep.
The big one is the SAG Awards.
Yep.
This has been a very interesting year for the acting categories.
Yep.
There are so many of them that we have kind of known where it's been going for a while now.
Yep.
And the big ones I'm thinking of are obviously the supporting acting categories. You have Robert Downey Jr. winning supporting actor. You have Divine Joy Randolph winning best supporting actress.
Yep.
Both of them have been sweeping everywhere. Both of them win here. We can lock them in. Like, we could lock them in already, but
yeah,
now we can
in.
Really lock
yep,
them in.
Yep, they are. It would be upset of the century for both of them at this point.
Totally.
They've swept harder than Ki Hai Kwan.
Yeah.
And, like, Ki Hai Kwan was, like, a huge lock.
That was, like, the thing last year.
And now it's, like, they've both done better than he did.
Yeah.
So just, like, think about that. Like, that's kind of wild.
It is.
Because, like, supporting actor seemed close.
It did.
But it's not.
No.
At all.
Not at all.
Yeah. Sorry, Ryan Gosling. Sorry, Mark Ruffalo. Sorry, Charles Melton.
Hey, Ryan Gosling is apparently, as of today, performing I'm Just Ken. So.
Oh, my God.
He will have his moment.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. This just broke today that he's going to be up there doing it. I'm so excited.
The shock and awe and smile on my face right now.
You look like a giddy school child.
Yeah, this is like me when I was watching Alien during film history too. I'm serious. Like,
yeah.
I was a giddy school child during Alien. And I don't know why, because I watched Alien for the first time like a few months before. And I was like, okay about it. But then during class, I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Ah! Anyway. you said no Giamatti. Cillian Murphy won here.
Yes.
I think we're pretty close to locking him in because of that.
I think so too. This would have been the place where Paul Giamatti could have pulled out a win.
Exactly.
And I think even if he had, I still would have had Cillian Murphy as the front runner.
But I would have had Giamatti as
really?
My front runner if he won. Yeah.
Okay. It's been conversationally, it's been those two for like a good month now.
Yeah.
But if he didn't win here, he kind of fades out of the conversation. And
exactly.
Guess what? He didn't win here.
Nope.
Cillian Murphy took it.
Yeah.
And so he's won pretty much everything.
Aside from Critics' Choice,
right?
Yeah.
Which doesn't...
Like, Critics' Choice matters just because, like, you know, winners give speeches and speeches look good and speeches do help you out.
But in terms of the actual Academy voting body,
like,
that
there's
doesn't...
no voting body for the Academy on Critics' Choice.
Yeah.
Essentially, because you can't be a critic in the Academy.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this, I would lock in Cillian Murphy now for best actor, I think.
I don't know if I would lock
I'm locking him
because,
in.
Like, you also are going to have, like, producers and other people like that voting. And sure, the actors might like Cillian better, but we don't know how much better. You know, I wish we could see the tally of votes because I think that would help out a lot. But I would assume it was kind of close. And I feel I feel like just like producers and directors and other like old timers might be more inclined to vote for Giamatti.
Perhaps. I am going to disagree with you here just because the sheer number of wins he has at this point.
Yeah.
The strength of the movie that he's attached to.
Yeah.
I would be like that would be easily surprise of the night, I think, for something that I think is like feasible,
mm-hmm.
but that I don't think is likely.
Yeah, I agree.
You sound sad.
I just want things to be more entertaining.
Yeah,
you know, like I think Cillian gave a better performance.
Yeah.
Do you think so too?
I think so too.
Yeah, and I think he probably gave the best performance of the year?
I don't know if I still agree with that, but I at the end of the year when I made my little lists and like my favorite lead performances, he was my number one.
Yeah, I mean like then there's like Emma Stone and there's some really good performances in like foreign films, like Sandra Hüller is up
yes.
there. Love her performance.
I watched the second half of Anatomy of a Fall last night, and I didn't technically watch it because I had headphones on and was listening to music. But just watching the screen,
yeah,
her perform, it's like
you can see it.
I'm upset she fell out of it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, who knows? Maybe she could just come in and upset anyways. I'd put her in, like, I have like a little color ranking.
You have a color ranking.
Like predictions, and like green, like dark green is like, you know, this is who I think is going to win. Light green is like, oh, they're kind of likely. Yellow is like, would be an upset. And then like orange is huge upset. And then there's red, which is no chance, right? I'd put Sandra Hüller in orange.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't put her in red.
I wouldn't put her in red either.
Yeah. But I would put every other best actor and actress nominee aside from Cillian Murphy, Paul Giamatti, Emma Stone, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Hüller, they're all in red at this point.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I don't think anybody else has a chance aside from those five to win
a lead. This has been the Logan Thompson color-coded Oscars prediction thing.
Yes.
Yes.
It has been.
Yes.
So let's move on to the best actress.
Yes.
Would you like to take it away?
Yeah. This is the one that really took me by surprise. Mm-hmm. I wasn't not expecting it, but I think it was so up in the air, even more so than actor.
Yeah.
And Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone have been going back and forth for a while. Mm-hmm. Emma Stone kind of took the lead. Yep. I think part of that was Lily Gladstone not having a BAFTA nomination.
Yeah.
So she just, like, that wasn't even a possibility.
Yeah.
But Lily Gladstone won the SAG Award for Best Actress. And this now gives her momentum, which is very important. We saw, obviously, I don't think before the SAG Awards anybody was predicting Jamie Lee Curtis to win Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, nobody.
And then SAG just, I guess, gave her enough momentum to overtake really two others who potentially could have had it. Yeah, and Lily Gladstone's narrative, I think, is definitely better. Mm-hmm. Emma Stone already has an Oscar, and she will, I'm sure, within the course of her remaining career, give multiple other performances that the Academy might feel is worthy of nominating, potentially giving the win.
Yeah.
Do you give her a second Oscar so soon?
This is a really good performance.
It's a really good performance. Like, I think it is her best performance so far.
Emma Stone, like, channels being a child perfectly.
Totally.
You know, and It is just, you are so glued to that performance, and that performance is what makes Poor Things good.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you had anybody else playing Emma Stone's character, I don't think they would have done as good of a job, and I don't think that movie would have been nearly as good.
I agree.
You know, and like, Emma Stone just makes the movie.
Yes.
And I think that really helps. But also, like, Lily Gladstone kind of makes Killers of the Flower Moon.
Totally.
And Lily Gladstone gives a better performance than Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Two of the best actors alive.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I am Team Emma Stone, but I wouldn't be upset about either of them. Mm-hmm. I think they do both deserve it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go over to Gold Derby. I know you hate Gold Derby.
Oh no.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. But I do just wanna see. It is so close on here right now.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, you have 2,975 people putting Emma Stone as their top choice for Best Actress. Mm-hmm. And right behind that, you have 2,931 people.
Oh my God.
Putting Lily Gladstone. It is.
It is so.
What
close.
Is that? Is that 44?
Yeah.
That's a 44 person difference with thousands and thousands of people
that's
picking.
Wild.
It is so close right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might give the edge to Lily Gladstone after the SAG win, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough. I'm going back and forth.
Yeah, I am too, because my question is what like overpowers the other?
Yeah.
Does narrative for Lily Gladstone overpower Emma Stone, or does Emma Stone just being around longer and more people knowing who she is, like before her movie, overpower Lily Gladstone's narrative? Something else that I heard in the news, I don't know if you heard about this, but Lily Gladstone is taking a 2-year absence from acting.
She is.
And I think that's going to help.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's another thing to add to the narrative and be like, oh, like, we're not going to see her again for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we're going to award her, we have to award her now. And also because she is, like, a Native American actor, it is really hard to get acting roles
Yeah.
Like in a minority, especially in a as a Native American minority, which is really sad.
Right.
And I don't think that that's a good thing. But I hope the Academy realizes, like, you know, it's going to be hard to see her, you know, in a movie again anytime soon. And I just think, for me, that's what makes me team Lily Gladstone.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all of that. I think trying to compare it to last year, where mm-hmm. it was Cate Blanchett and Michelle Yeoh, Lily Gladstone is definitely more of the Michelle Yeoh here.
Yes.
Where I think she has the narrative on her side. Mm-hmm. You have her opponent, who is, like, much more, I guess, Oscar-friendly in the past.
Yep.
And that's maybe incentive to give it to Lily Gladstone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though, because also with Michelle Yeoh, a big part of her narrative was she's been in the industry mm-hmm. for so long and has not gotten that recognition.
Yeah.
Lily Gladstone's obviously been in movies for, yeah. like a decade
mm-hmm.
at this point, but more under the radar and, like, smaller indie films.
Yeah.
It's not, like, she's obviously been ignored, but not in quite that capacity. Lily Gladstone doesn't, I don't think, have the power that Michelle Yeoh had with yeah. Everything Everywhere All at Once. But Emma Stone doesn't either.
Yeah. Like, Emma Stone doesn't have the Cate Blanchett power, I don't think.
Yeah.
Just because, like, yeah, Emma Stone's been around for a while and is super, super talented, but, like, Emma Stone's been around for a decade, while Cate Blanchett has been around for multiple decades.
Yeah. I think what you see in a lot of acting category races where it's really close, you do look to see who is in the stronger film.
Yeah.
And, like, with actor, Cillian Murphy definitely has that. Last year, again, Michelle Yeoh had that. You had just anyone in Everything Everywhere All at Once had that. Even
yeah.
Best Actor last year, where it's like, like, Elvis had way more nominations than The Whale. And mm-hmm. so for a while, it did look like Austin Butler had it.
Yeah.
It's interesting here because I think Oppenheimer is performing so strongly across the board and there hasn't been a clear number two that you can't really say one or the other is stronger.
I mean, I think Poor Things is stronger just because it got all the nominations.
I think it's a little stronger, but at the end of the day,
I don't know. I feel like it's a lot stronger.
If Lily Gladstone wins Best Actress and, like, Poor Things doesn't come out in, like, a tech, like, beating, like, Maestro for makeup and hair, Killers will walk away with more.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, sitting on the outside, in my opinion, like, Poor Things does look like the very, 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 very distant number two.
Really?
To Oppenheimer.
Really?
Killers didn't get adapted screenplay.
Killers didn't get a death screenplay, which is still crazy, by the way.
Yeah, it's still crazy. I think it's the best screenplay of the year.
Really?
Yeah. Well, just because, like, look at the book that it's based on. Like, they changed the entire book.
Yeah.
And I think made it better, personally. Like, I loved Killers, even though I like Oppenheimer a little better.
Yes.
I just think, like, as an adapted screenplay, Killers just did more, I guess.
Yeah.
But also Oppenheimer did a lot, too.
They both did a lot. Yeah, it's been a very good year for screenplays.
It has been a great year for screenplays. And then it's probably going to go to American Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look at that. But yeah, I don't know. For actress, I think it's really interesting. I kind of have Gladstone coming out on top just because, like, you know, it just feels very Michelle Yeoh versus Cate Blanchett part two.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've literally won the exact same awards as their counterparts.
That's true. Yeah.
Which is kind of wild to think. And I think, like, that SAG momentum is definitely a helper because Brendan Fraser got the SAG, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Brendan Fraser got the SAG. Michelle Yeoh got the SAG.
They went 4-for-4 last
year. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis got the SAG. So I think we could see a 4-for-4 again.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yeah. I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I would say I'm, like, slightly favoring Lily Gladstone to win right now, but
yeah.
This is closer for me than maybe any other category.
I think, to me, this is the closest, aside from maybe animation, which we'll get to momentarily.
Momentarily.
But first, I think we should talk about Best Picture.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer. One ensemble and also just the PGA.
Right.
I think that's the lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been that way still.
Yep.
But again, like, we keep coming back to it. What is the number two?
To me,
you say Poor Things. I don't think it's done enough to where it has really distinguished itself above any other movie.
then what has done enough to be a number two?
I don't think there has been one. And really? I think that's the big problem and why this has been a very boring best picture race, but still kind of an interesting one, because usually you do have something that you could see, would be crazy if it happened, but it could have. I don't know what – like, I don't see – Poor Things winning Best Picture. I don't see The Holdovers, Killers, Nightmare Before Barbie. I don't see American Fiction, anything.
Yeah. I just, for me, my number two is Poor Things. My number three is Anatomy. And the reason why is because even though they haven't won enough, they haven't been snubbed.
That's true.
We haven't seen any unexpected like nominations not go their way. You know, aside from, I guess you could say Willem Dafoe, but I never even thought Willem Dafoe was a favorite for supporting actor in the first place. I kind of felt like he was a long shot.
But he also, like, he did get a SAG nomination.
He did, yeah.
Mark Ruffalo didn't.
Yeah.
And so just seeing that difficulty of them both getting in there, when we mentioned in a past episode, many movies have easily gotten two supporting performances in there.
That's fair. But also, I do think that this is a stronger supporting actor
year. I would agree.
In terms of nominations. Yeah. Because, like, you got De Niro, you got Downey, you got Gosling.
You don't got Charles Melton somehow.
Yeah. Like, what happened?
Still mad.
He was a favorite in, like, December.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
To the Charles Melton campaign.
Yes.
But you will forever live in our hearts.
Forever.
Forever. Forever and ever. Anything else about Oppenheimer?
It's going to win so much.
Yeah. I think we might have a Titanic on our hands.
Maybe.
11 wins.
It's because at this point, firmly lock it in for like a good 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of, do they give it the full sweep, or do they take like the, like maybe a sound or a screenplay or something like that, and maybe throw it to another movie?
Yeah, maybe.
Just to spread it a little.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. But I think like everyone just loves Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I love Oppenheimer.
I love Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Like my thing in my head that I've just kind of had is like, if it's going to sweep, I want it to fully sweep. Like,
yeah.
I want it to just wipe the table and break records, or like do something that we haven't seen in years.
Right.
You know, and I think it would be kind of incredible to see that. I think Nolan's a deserving filmmaker to give that kind of, you know, just award to, where not only are you going to give him picture and director, but like there'll be actor, there will be supporting actor, there won't be supporting actress because I think Divine Joy Randolph has it in the bag. There will be screenplay, you know, and then just all the technicals.
So many technicals.
So many technicals. You know, screw Barbie, screw Poor Things, just give it all to Oppenheimer.
Do you think if Dune 2 was coming out for this round of the Oscars, that Oppenheimer would be doing as strong in the text as it is?
No.
At all?
No.
Damn.
Because I think Dune 2, it looks to be bigger and better than the first one. And Dune 1 did so good in technicals. I think if Dune 2 came out last year, this would be a much more interesting Oscar race.
I agree.
Because I think it would take away from Oppenheimer in enough categories, or like match Oppenheimer in enough categories, to not only make it interesting for Dune 2, but also just to leave more hope for other films.
Because I think if you take away some of that momentum for Oppenheimer in the text, you're going to feel it in other categories too.
Exactly.
To where like a situation like Paul Giamatti taking down Cillian Murphy feels more feasible.
Exactly.
Because Oppenheimer doesn't have as much going for it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then like we'd be feeling like, oh, cinematography, that could go to Dune 2. Score, that could go to Dune 2. You know, and just those little bit of text, it will kind of add up to then suddenly like, you know, Paul Giamatti. Would Chalamet have gotten nominated for Best Actor? Could Chalamet have come in and upset, you know?
Maybe.
Never know. Zendaya.
Yeah.
How good is Zendaya's performance? We don't know.
We don't know.
We're going to find out.
We'll find out.
I think Dune 2 could be like insane at the Oscars this year, though.
Yeah.
Like this coming year. 2025. Dune 2.
Dune 2.
Oppenheimer Part 2. In terms of the Oscars. Maybe.
Perhaps.
Never know. Anyways, final bit. Spider-Verse wins PGA for animation.
Let's go. Yay.
Yeah, let's go. I'm Boo.
No.
Hayao Miyazaki, my boy.
I know he's your boy. He's my boy, too. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
I've been leaning Spider-Verse a little bit. This really doesn't change that for me. Like, Boy and the Heron absolutely has a shot. Still yeah. a very strong yeah. shot.
I agree. I think Spider-Verse, I'm going to lean a little bit, but I think it's, like, neck and neck. It's a really yeah. good race. I think this is about as tight as Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone.
Really?
Yeah. Just because, like, you know, the PGA are notoriously biased towards American films.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I just don't think it makes that much of a difference. Just like the BAFTAs. Like, did the BAFTAs really shake anything up?
Nothing crazy.
Yeah, aside from Boy and the Heron. I think yeah. that was the biggest shakeup that came out of the BAFTAs. But yeah, I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Moving on to the box office.
Eh.
Yeah, it was kind of an box office week anyways. But I guess we'll get started.
Go for it.
Demon Slayer, 11.6 million. Middle of its productions. Good for anime.
Good for anime.
Good for anime.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Any more thoughts?
Not really.
Nope. Ordinary Angels. I saw it.
You saw it here when it screened?
Such a crowd pleaser.
Yeah?
You know, like, this film was... It's conventional in the right ways. It's a religious movie. It's a faith-based movie, but it's not shoving it down your throat. And I appreciate that.
How was my boy Alan Richson from Reacher and Fast X? How was he?
He was sad and depressed.
Ooh. Moody.
Yeah, he was a very moody guy. All Barely right. talks.
Barely talks?
Barely talks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know. Perfect for best actor.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, totally. Totally. We're going to see Alan Richman from Ordinary Angels coming in.
Cillian Murphy's going to be on stage, and he's just going to come in, like, all gruff and, like, throw him off the stage.
Yeah, just Alan Richman's going to be like, no, this is mine.
No, he's not going to talk. He doesn't talk.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't talk. Yeah, I forgot.
He's just sad and depressed.
Yeah, he's just going to, like, steal the Oscar and stand there. And then Will Smith is going to come up and slap him.
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy. Will Smith part two.
Will Smith part two? Yeah. Who's he going to smack this time?
Alan Richson. Because he steals the Oscar from Cillian Murphy. He's like, that's my boy! And then Will Smith's going to be like, I'm sorry.
Keep my friend's award out your hand. Smacks him. Jeez.
Oh my god. This is terrible.
What are we doing?
I don't know. But I did want to talk, going back to Ordinary Angels yeah. for the box office. I think it could hold kind of well.
I agree.
It has an A+ cinema score, which is cinema score has been a really good way to see how well a film does either in theatrically, and then if it doesn't do that well theatrically, then it'll typically do really well on VOD or streaming. And I just think that this is really good counter-programming for Dune.
Yeah.
You know, just because even though we have a guy like Alan Richson, you know, this is just completely different genre, completely different audience, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like, I think people that aren't super religious can appreciate this movie. I appreciate this movie. It's a 3-star movie to me.
Hey.
You know, if I felt like I was getting Jesus shoved down my throat, I'd give it 1.5 stars. But I didn't feel like I was getting Jesus shoved down my throat.
It's good to hear.
And I'm Jewish, so I'm sensitive to that. So, yeah, any thoughts?
I am also Jewish, and I agree that not having Jesus shoved down your throat makes for a better movie experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Give it all the money.
Give it all the money.
Give it the $1 billion that Driveaway Dolls didn't get.
Yeah, let's talk about Driveaway Dolls. So yeah, Driveaway Dolls, I projected it to make $1 billion.
I projected, what, $2 billion?
$2 billion,
right?
Okay. Yeah. It made $2.4 million.
I was closer. There was a two in there.
Yeah.
It wasn't the right alien, but there was a two.
We'll just pretend it made $2.4 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
We'll pretend it shattered your expectations. On a serious note, lower end of its actual, like, projections.
In the yeah. It's
not our billion projections. You know, too bad. Pedro Pascal, you know, didn't draw in $1 billion.
Nope.
Nope. So I just kind of wanted to review it because yeah. we both saw it.
I finally went and saw a movie this weekend.
It's crazy.
Aren't you proud of me?
I'm so proud of you.
Let's go.
And next weekend, you're going to keep the streak.
I'm going to keep the streak. Oh, my
Dune.
Gosh.
Dune.
Dune.
Dune. And you might see it twice.
I will definitely see it twice.
There you go.
Yeah.
So thoughts on Driveway Dolls.
What were your thoughts on Driveway Dolls?
Yeah. I had such a fun time.
Yeah?
Like, this movie is not for everyone.
No.
It's insane. It is bonkers. Miley Cyrus. And I don't need to say what anything else except Miley Cyrus. Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I don't know if this word is allowed on this podcast, but dildos.
We can cut this.
We might have to cut that.
We will probably have to cut that. But if not, hey, dildos.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go. So it's just absurd.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I had so much fun. And I was so in for the absurdity. But obviously not everyone was. Only has a 65 on Rotten Tomatoes. Only has a 3.1 on Letterboxd. Has a C+ cinema score. You know,
y'all are no fun.
You all are no fun. But if you are in for the insanity of this movie, you will have such a good time.
So much fun.
What about you, Ethan?
I agree with everything you just said. Mm-hmm. I think going into it, I kind of knew that it wasn't going to be incredible by any means.
Yeah.
And having my expectations lowered, I think, totally helped.
Yeah.
Because it was just insanely fun. I saw mm-hmm. this with like 9 friends in Cinemopolis.
God,
we were
awesome.
Like all in one row.
Yeah.
Just a nice breezy hour and a half. You don't get a lot of those anymore.
Not even an hour and a half. A crisp 80 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, like what was it? 84 with credits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably like under 80 minutes
yeah.
of actual film.
Yeah, nice, like fast paced, mm-hmm. fun, silly, goofy, wild,
yeah.
synonyms. Yeah.
Like look at this cast. Margaret Qualley. Coleman Domingo, Pedro Pascal, Matt Damon, Miley Cyrus, and more.
And more.
And more.
Yes.
Go see this movie.
Go see this movie. It's fun.
Instead of Dune. Just
no,
kidding.
No, yeah. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. Double feature with Dune.
Crazy double feature.
You know, you watch Dune, and then you're like, you're experiencing the Dune of Dune.
The Dune of Dune.
Yes, and then you leave Dune. And rather than go home and sit on it, go to that theater again and go watch Driveway Dolls.
Because if not, what are you Dune?
Exactly. What are you Dune if you're not watching Driveway Dolls after Dune?
Yeah.
I just had a little question attached to this movie.
Yes.
Is it just that this movie didn't get good ratings? Or does it just feel like there isn't much of an audience yet for queer-focused comedies?
I think it's a mix of both.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, you do have, just the more you market that, unfortunately, there are people you will lose.
Yeah.
It sucks, but that's the world.
Yeah, it sucks a lot.
Yeah.
It upsets me very
deeply.
Right.
And I would also say, I know, reviews, because, Bottoms and Bros especially, I think, got really, really good reviews.
Yeah.
And, they did make money, but not a lot, and not nearly as much as they were probably hoping for.
Yeah.
So it's not, a one-to-one comparison, because this just critically wasn't looking as great as those.
Yeah. Even though it's an Ethan Coen movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got half the Coens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that the cast of this movie and the fact that it's Ethan Coen would have sort of balanced out the fact that there weren't as good of critic reviews, but I guess not.
Yeah. No, I think it is a mix of both. I think had this, because I've expressed my disdain for Rotten Tomatoes, but it does affect general movie going public from time to time.
Yeah, especially because I think a lot of the general movie going public buy their tickets off Fandango.
Yeah.
And Fandango displays the Rotten Tomatoes score right there.
Yeah.
You know, like it or not.
I will say, definitely wasn't rushing out to see this as much as I will be with, Dune this weekend.
Yeah, me too.
But, still made it a point to go. Yeah. I think if it had gotten better reviews, I still don't think it breaks 3 million,
mm-hmm.
but maybe on, the higher side of the twos.
Yeah. Just made, point four million more.
Yeah.
400,000 more. Yeah, I'm just... Yeah.
Could have made a billion, who knows?
Yeah, could have, would have, should have.
Yeah.
2 billion should have happened, you know? And, yeah, it's sad, though, because, as a queer person, it makes me really happy to see queer movies and just, see that they are getting made and, that they are good.
Yeah.
Bottoms was so good.
Bottoms was so much fun.
And Bros was also good.
Bros was really good.
Yeah. I didn't like Bros as much as Bottoms, but I still liked it. I haven't seen Bodies, 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 but I threw that up.
Which is also really good.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Do watch it. It's fun.
Okay, I'll definitely check it out. I've been meaning to check it out.
And gosh, a movie I've seen that you haven't.
I know. It's crazy, right? Has that happened yet?
I don't think so.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
Have you seen the original Dune?
No.
Okay, because I'm going to see that before Dune.
But you haven't currently.
I haven't yet.
Okay.
So that's the second movie I haven't seen.
All right.
There you go.
I feel so much better about myself now.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, so I guess we'll move on from this depressing topic to Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
It did really well. Number one, again, I wanted to just make a little comparison.
Go for
it. Bob Marley with Rocket Man. And now this is like an interesting comparison because Bob Marley is doing significantly better than Rocket Man was at this point in the runtime. But like Bob Marley opened on Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
so
that definitely helps.
If you don't count Valentine's Day and then the Thursday following it, you'd be looking at Rocket Man, which in the same amount of time made $50.3 million, and then Bob Marley, which made $53.3 million. So like,
I will just throw this out there.
Yeah,
the end of May 2019 was crazy. Was stacked.
Yeah,
you have the Aladdin remake, Brightburn, Booksmart, all of those the weekend before, mm-hmm. and then the weekend Rocket Man comes out. You have Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and of course, the greatest movie ever made,
mm-hmm.
Ma, with Octavia Spencer.
Oh my God, that yeah.
So no, I will say, huge... Rocket Man did have, I think, significantly more competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Madam Web, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see just how well Bob Marley stands up to Rocket Man once we get to March.
Yeah.
Because literally every weekend, there's a blockbuster
right.
in March. Like, let me just pull up my notes app
here. Go pull up your
because
notes.
Because let's see. First weekend of March, obviously, we got Dune.
Dune. You know,
we're going to talk more about March later, but we got Dune, and then you got Kung Fu Panda plus this horror movie called Imaginary,
yes,
which
that.
You know has some kind of fun marketing going on. Following weekend after that, you don't really have anything huge coming out, you know. So that's like a weekend where, you know, March 15th, that's the Friday, so March 15th through the 17th, that could be a decent weekend for Bob Marley. But then after that is Ghostbusters, and after that is Godzilla X Kong. So you know, Bob Marley could really fizzle out, or it could prove to stand kind of tall and hold really well. And I'm really interested to find out.
We'll see. I think this upcoming weekend is really going to be the big test of it. It has
yeah.
legs in a weekend that is going to, just plain and simple, is going to be a good box office weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Or is Bob Marley just, is it Dune? I'm trying to say, is it done? But I was trying to make a Dune pun.
That was so bad.
I know, right?
I'm going to get up and leave, actually. I'm going to leave the podcast studio right
now.
I'm
sorry, Ethan. Yeah. And my other little question is, with March coming up, you know, could it still pass 100 million domestic? Right now it's standing at 71.2. Do you think
I think overall it'll get there.
I think overall, like worldwide, it could. Or it already passed, it might pass 2 million.
Worldwide.
200 million. 200 million. But like overall domestic, do you think?
I think so. Because I think if it's at 71 now and that's only after two weekends,
mm-hmm.
like it's not going to have the legs, I don't think, to get to like maybe 150, 200. But even with the competition over the next month,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll slowly but surely get there.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope it does. I think we just need more movies
you got
to pass
this, Bob.
The century mark domestically. Because right now, like domestically...
Yeah, how many for the year?
We've had no movies
None.
Come out this year that have passed the century mark domestically.
Wild.
You know, I mean, like, let's see. I think Mean Girls got kind of close at 72. The Beekeeper, which we'll talk about shortly, you know, got 63. Migration did a lot of its business this year, you know.
Is 100 of that this year?
I don't think so, but I think it's pretty close because it's been holding
yeah, it's not,
really
but it's,
well.
Yeah.
Speaking of Migration.
You know it's a great weekend when Migration's in the top five.
It is.
Again, and somehow.
Yeah, how?
I don't know. This is its 10th weekend.
Yeah. which is wild. And that's why I'm feeling, and I added this to the doc, like, Kung Fu Panda could kill.
No!
Not kill Migration.
You can't kill Migration.
No, I just mean, like, it could kill, like, at the box office and do insane.
I'm a big Kung Fu Panda fan.
I'm a big, I watched all three in, like, the past week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To prepare?
To prepare.
I haven't watched them recently to prepare, but, like, the first one, classic.
Yeah.
Second one, underrated banger.
Yep.
And I do really like the third.
I didn't really like the third that much.
It's not on the level of the first two, but I do still like it. J.K. Yeah. Simmons. You have J.K. Simmons.
Honestly,
villain.
I thought J.K. Simmons wasn't that good.
You know what? Get out of here.
I'm comparing, like...
You're comparing it to, like, Whiplash and Invincible any other villains
he's
done?
Yeah, I'm comparing it to Whiplash. Not Whiplash, Invincible.
Okay.
Because I was just like, J.K. Simmons, just his voice acting in Kung Fu Panda 3 just is nowhere close to where he is as Omni-Man.
I guess.
Like, I couldn't barely even tell it was J.K. Simmons. Like, he sounded kind of funky.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. He just didn't sound like J.K. Simmons. He didn't have that.
Wait, who's playing the villain in Kung Fu Panda 4?
That is a good question. Let's do a little looker-uppy, you know? I know Awkwafina is in there.
Okay.
Which scares me.
Is it her?
No, she's like a good person. She's like an ally. Unless there's a plot twist where she becomes the villain.
Oh, dear.
But it's somebody... I know the villain is like the chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the villain is able to like transform to Tai Lung or transform into... Oh, Viola Davis.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
Why does the Kung Fu Panda franchise have such good villains and good voice acting? Like Gary Oldman in 2.
Yeah, he was
so
good.
Amazing. And then Ian McShane as Tai Lung is awesome too.
I loved Gary Oldman. We're going to have to jump back because of Madam Web.
Oh, can we not?
Can I just make a little joke?
Do it. Yeah.
It had a box office fall of 60.9%. We got so close to 69.
We got so close.
We got so close.
Just take out that zero and that decimal and there you are.
Yeah. Anyways.
Moment of silence
moment
over.
Moment of silence. I don't know if I... Did I talk about my fantasy about Madam Mum?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last episode.
With Deadpool?
Yeah. I want that to happen.
I
so
want
badly.
That to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No.
But, like, I've literally been going to AI image generators and generating pictures of it for fun.
Beautiful.
Just because why not?
That's amazing.
And it's terrible. The pictures are awful. They, like, accidentally make Madam Web and Morbius have, like, Deadpool parts.
No. Don't.
Like,
that's
armor.
Not what you asked for.
Yeah, that's not what I asked for. But it does that. And it sucks. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's better than nothing.
I still haven't seen Madam Web, but I have spent... I don't know how much exactly, but an embarrassing amount of time watching video essays on how bad Madam Web is.
I love that for you.
Yeah, it's really given me some insight that I should totally see it at some point.
You probably should.
Yeah.
At some point, I am planning on doing a double feature of Madam Web
and
Morbius.
And we're doing that. And I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there?
I don't even care if you don't want me there. I'm going to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do want you there. You
good.
Should be there. You should
good.
Come. Okay.
Just know that if you didn't want me there, I would still be there.
Fair
like,
enough.
You don't have a say in this.
Okay.
Okay.
I just won't have a say in it.
All right. Glad we got that figured out.
Anyways, jumping over.
Jumping over.
Let's talk about Argyle for 2 seconds.
Sorry, I heard Argyle and just had to, you know, vomit briefly. Continue. You were mentioning something about Argyle, right?
Argyle.
Yeah.
It's doing worse than Migration.
That is a good piece of news to hear.
I just want that to sit because Argyle costs $200 million. To make.
No, it didn't. That's a money laundering scheme.
And not only did it cost, but like, that's not counting the advertising.
Yeah.
Apple probably spent almost $400 million
so
on this
much.
Movie.
It was everywhere. It's been everywhere.
And it's doing worse than Migration.
Good.
How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel so amazing.
I'm glad.
That is the closest I have felt to my first watch of The Beekeeper. Okay.
Oh, I'm so glad. Your first watch.
My first watch.
Your first
watch. You know there's going to be more.
There should be.
Of course.
There better be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to you like right before you die and be like, Ethan, how many times did you watch The Beekeeper? And you better say more than 100.
It will be more than 100.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Wonka.
Wonka.
Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée Chalamet.
That's probably why it's holding so well. And yeah. Also, again, another kids movie. Parents trying to take their kids to the movies. That's probably why Kung Fu Panda is going to do amazing.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters could also do some good numbers because that's also kind of a kids movie. I don't think Dune will benefit much from kids. I think that's more of an adult type of movie. But Timothée Chalamet and Dune. So
I will say Wonka, because Wonka's been holding really well weekend to weekend.
Yeah.
Its entire run. These next couple weeks are going to kill it.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's already on the way there just because it's been out for that long. Yeah. But between a new Timothée Chalamet movie and Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, Wonka's over.
Wonka's over.
Also, like, Argyle's over, obviously. This is a sad,
oh, no.
sad part. The Beekeeper. This is probably Jason Statham's last time in the top 10 because of Dune.
No. Can we delay Dune again?
For one weekend.
Yeah.
Just have Jason Statham around one more weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
But I want to see Dune.
I want to see Dune, but, like, it's not going to be better than The Beekeeper. You know that.
Beekeeper, you will forever be in our hearts.
I'll never forget you.
No. I love you, Jason. Well, let's talk about another sad topic.
Yay! Woo.
These past 2 months at the box office, every weekend has been worse than its 2023 counterpart.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
All of them?
Every weekend.
Every weekend.
I looked, I was like, I assumed at least one weekend would have been better, but no.
No?
Literally every weekend has been worse. Oof. And I think part of that is because we haven't had like an Avatar or Quantumania. Even though Quantumania was a bust, it still did make a lot of money.
Right. Avatar's really the big one.
Avatar is the big one.
Yeah.
But like, I think Quantumania might have made more than Avatar did in 2023.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah. I just look at it because like Avatar was the one I think that was like a big blockbuster at the end of the year that carried over into like January.
Yeah.
And this year that's been Wonka, which like it still obviously had that, but not nearly
at the same level. Yeah. And like Wonka has definitely helped, but like Avatar really helped.
Right.
Also, they had other, like, sleeper hits like Megan.
Yeah.
You know.
Last year's January was really good.
Yeah. And just, yeah, Megan helped a lot. I'm trying to think about February. Last year, did we have any, like, February releases
that kind of went crazy? Let me look this up. You'll probably get there before me.
Let's see.
Why am I on Letterboxd? What am I doing?
Oh, you're on Letterboxd?
Why am I doing this on Letterboxd?
No. Box Office Mojo.
No, earliest first. Oh my God. Cocaine Bear. Okay, last February had Cocaine Bear and 80 for Brady. Ooh. And this year did not have either of them.
Puss in Boots.
Forgot about Puss in Boots.
Oh, and then also Knock at the Cabin. Yeah, you had Titanic re-release.
Yeah, I really liked Missing, Skinamarink.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Of course.
Can't forget about that.
Yeah.
That's a huge one.
There was a lot.
Yeah. Oh, The Whale. The Whale did pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, Everything Everywhere started to open up. And obviously, that just got bigger and bigger. But, like, it started around February.
Was Mario in March?
That was April.
April.
Yeah. April was crazy with Mario. But, yeah, we'll
Air,
see.
Air was in March.
No, that was the same weekend as Mario.
You know what? I should just leave.
I'm sorry. What was in March? Shazam. Shazam was in March. Scream. Creed 3.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Oh, John Wick.
That was the
biggest one. Oh, Dungeons and Dragons.
But March, like this, March was good.
Yeah. But this March is going to be bigger box office wise, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I think Dune alone is bigger than all of those.
Yeah.
I think Godzilla and Khan is bigger than all of those. I think Kung Fu Panda is about on the same level as, like, John Wick.
Yeah.
And then...
How would John Wick feel about being compared to Po from Kung Fu Panda? Who would win?
I mean, but Po is the Dragon Warrior.
Okay.
The Dragon Warrior. But then John Wick would probably kill him with a pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, that makes me sad. Po, I'm sorry. Anyways, like, I'm hoping just, like, March will change.
I think... I think so.
Yeah, like March this year will be better than last year. Not to say that as a bad thing towards any of last year's March movies. I just think in terms of the industry, we want to see improvement.
Totally.
On a year-to-year basis post-COVID and post-strikes.
Yeah. I think this year has been so bad, though, that March is going to be a really good indicator of how the rest of the year is going to go. Because, like, March will be a very good box office month.
Yeah.
But will it be on the level of other really good box office months?
We'll see.
Will it underperform?
I hope it doesn't.
I hope not.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
And, like, looking at this year, like, March will be one of this year's biggest months.
Yeah.
Like, I think March... April is kind of big, but not as big as March. May is, I think, about on the same level, maybe even a little smaller. And then I guess certain months in the summer, like I think July is kind of big. I think June is kind of big. But like, do any of them have a Dune-level movie?
I don't think so.
You know, like, are we going to see a movie perform as well as Dune until, like, maybe Deadpool and Wolverine? I think, like, March is going to be really big for film in general. And sadly, it could end up being defined by more strikes.
Yay!
Because March 4th, we have the, I think it's, people pronounce it as, like, Itza. But IATSE.
I'm convinced you butchered that. I don't even
probably
know.
Did butcher that, but it's okay. And the Teamsters, which essentially both of those consist of like craftspeople. So like costume designers, cinematographers, and then you have like drivers, dispatchers, animal trainers. You know, the people who do the little stuff in film. But at the end of the day, that little stuff is really important and sort of vital to a film production. They could be going on strike. Because they are entering bargaining with the producers, and at the end of the day, will this third, you know, group be like third time's a charm, or will it be third time's the doom?
Third time's the doom.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say because, like, you named a lot of roles in filmmaking.
Yeah.
It's clearly going to do something. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll do enough to where they feel that a strike is no longer necessary and they, like, get out of this what they want. But I do look at, like, and obviously good that the writers and actors strikes did end up working out.
Mm-hmm.
We still have movies coming out.
Yeah.
Like, it'll definitely make a dent for sure if it happens. And I think you've even seen some of that a little, cause like obviously Dune was going to come out last year.
Yeah.
You had a lot of movies change their release dates, kind of left the first 2 months of this year pretty empty.
Yeah.
I think we've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will work out for them, whether or not strike happens. It's like, it's, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
I feel like the industry, like, short term, if a strike happens, will be fine. But then I think long term, it's just going to be bad because you have a lot of films that are in production that are going to come out, like, the end of this year.
Yeah.
You know, like, Wicked. Like,
right.
Wicked's not, I don't think Wicked is through production
yet. No.
And that's coming out at Thanksgiving. They had a Super Bowl trailer. You know, that might be $7 million gone to waste.
Right.
You know, I think Deadpool and Wolverine, are they through shooting yet?
I don't know. They're either really close or they're done.
Yeah, and like if this strike happens, again, that could just, we could see a lot of films that are almost through shooting sort of get screwed.
Yeah, I think we will see that with Dune this weekend of like whether or not the delay muddled that release date enough to where it'll make a dent in the box office or if just the sheer power of Dune is, you know, enough to take that down.
I feel like the sheer power of Dune helps, and also just the fact that because of the strikes, these past 2 months have been empty wastelands aside from like
it's Bob gonna Marley. Make people more eager to go
exactly.
see it.
Exactly. Because I think at the end of the day, film has not been as big as it was in like 2019. But we have seen certain films really strike a chord in the public with at least like two or three movies every year.
Yeah.
Sort of are just huge.
Yes.
You know, and I think Dune will be one of those movies.
I agree.
Just because it's coming out at a great time.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for some cinema.
I am hungry
and
for some cinema.
And I think
too.
Dune is it.
I agree.
Everyone I know who has seen it early is like giving it 5 stars
yep.
on Letterboxd.
Yep.
It's like, I think the IMDb score is like crazy
high
right now.
I bet Rotten Tomatoes is crazy high too.
Yeah.
If it's even out yet. CinemaScore will probably be an A+.
Yeah.
Like Dune 1 was good.
Dune 1 was
great.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's like a strong 4.5 for me.
Same. Like
yeah.
I think Dune 1 might have been my favorite movie aside from like Shiva Baby. in 2021?
It's definitely top five for me. I don't know. My top of 2021 is like fairly even amongst a few, but it's totally up there.
Yeah. And like just for Dune 1 to be that strong when it is the weaker half of this complete story really says something. Like I think Dune 2, I don't know, I think it has the potential to be like an all-timer.
I agree.
You know.
And I'm really excited because like last year, I think it might have been Spider-Verse that was the first movie of the year that I went into thinking, this could be my movie of the year.
Yeah.
And then it was.
Yeah.
This is the first movie that could be my movie of the year.
Yeah.
And it might be.
I personally only had three of those moments last year.
Yeah?
It was Spider-Verse, Oppenheimer, Killers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, like, I got surprised by a couple of movies, like Anatomy. I didn't expect to be as good as it was. Barbie. I knew it was going to be good, but not that good.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, that might be a hot take, because I really like Barbie.
I love Barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong 4.5.
Strong 4.5?
Yeah.
It's on the cusp of going down to a 4.5, just because, like, Oscars stuff makes you, unfortunately, I feel like, dislike movies that you love.
Really?
In a weird way, but it is still at a 5 for me.
Okay. I had it at a 5 for a while, and then I saw it again, and I was like, okay, this isn't a 5, but it's not a 4.
I think the highs are high enough that I've kept it at a 5. Yeah, it has lower points than other 5s, but like...
Yeah, the first...
Other movies don't have I'm Just Ken. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, the first and third acts of Barbie are just some of the best moments in cinema, just... period.
Yes.
Like of the century.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it only happened twice for me last year because like Spider-Verse happened. I was like, oh my God, I just discovered the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. And then Barbenheimer.
Yep.
And so like with how much I loved Spider-Verse and Oppenheimer, I think I just resigned myself to like, no movie's going to take down these two. And no movie did.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see if it happens again here.
And we will see. I mean, I have such high expectations for Dune. Like,
there's no way it's going to surpass the expectations, right?
It might.
Oh, my gosh.
I just... Denis is one of the best directors right now.
He is.
Just, like, living.
Yes.
Living and breathing. You know? I don't know. He might be my favorite director. I'm watching Incendies tonight.
I need to see that.
And that's my last... like major Denis movie that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
So
Blade Runner 2049 is an all-timer for me.
Yep.
Prisoners is 5 stars. I really love Arrival. I really love Sicario. Yeah. First Dune's amazing.
Yep. Enemy was pretty
good. Enemy was really good.
Yeah. Polytechnique, I don't know if you've seen that.
I have.
But it's depressing.
Not fun to watch, but like
well made.
It was good.
Yeah.
Just on a quality level.
Yeah.
He's Denis.
I haven't seen his films that were like the early 2000s and like late 90s.
Yeah, I haven't seen those either.
But, you know, they exist.
They do.
They're supposed to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, what else do you expect from really early movies from such a good filmmaker?
Right.
You know, you got to develop the craft. Anyways.
But he's developed the craft.
He has. Like
this one has the sauce.
This one will hopefully, it seems like it's going to have the sauce.
I think so.
I think so too. So, well, speaking of Dune... it's in the $65 to $80 million projections. Higher or lower, Ethan? I don't think it's lower.
I don't think it's lower. Yeah. Definitely not lower. I see it maybe going a little higher, and if not, it's going to be on the high end.
Yeah.
I think I would put it like maybe... it's like a very wide umbrella. I feel like low 70s to like... mid-90s.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's kind of where I'm feeling too. I'm feeling 85.
You're feeling 85?
I'm feeling 85.
85 is a nice number. I like that.
And I'm feeling the low being 75.
Okay.
I see like a high at 90.
The thing that that does hold me back maybe a little from going higher than I am, trailers. You need to get the trailers out there to alert the people because after this was delayed... like,
yeah, they should have done a Super Bowl trailer.
They should have. Like, I don't think it needed another trailer because after the delays and, like, the new one, it's, like, 3, like, full trailers.
Yeah.
And I do think that's a lot. Like, I don't want to see the whole movie in advance. I'm just – the only thing I'm worried about, you have 2 months of people not really going to the movies that much. And they're not seeing the trailers.
that's...
Will that affect anything?
Well, the trailers were playing everywhere I went.
They're playing, but, like, you don't have as many people going out to the theater to see them.
That's fair. I mean, but then here was one huge thing which just, like, shocked me. The re-release of Dune made $30 million.
It did?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
It made worldwide. I don't think it made that much in the U.S.
Okay.
But $30 million worldwide.
That's a lot.
For the re-release. Isn't that wild?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So, like, the fact that enough people to make Dune $30 million more dollars for a re-release?
Yeah.
Like, Avatar, when it got re-released before The Way of Water, I think made around that money.
Mm-hmm. And that's Avatar.
That's Avatar.
Yes.
And this is Dune. I think
we're in for a good weekend.
I think we're in for a really good weekend.
Yeah.
I know I was saying 90 as a ceiling, but I mean, it could get to Avatar levels. It could.
Yeah. It's
there's a chance.
There is a chance. I'm very excited to see it, and I'm very excited to see it hopefully do really well.
I think it's definitely going to get a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think it's going to make enough
money. Because, like, the first Dune did make money even with the pandemic and it being released on HBO Max the same day, which absolutely hurt it a little.
Oh, of course.
A lot, even.
Because, like, people don't want to leave their homes during the pandemic.
Right.
And like, you're getting good movies in your home. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still saw it in IMAX anyways.
I did too.
Did I
see it in IMAX or just in a theater? Was I a fool and didn't see it in IMAX?
I lied. So it's a funny story.
You lied.
I lied to my dad.
Oh?
That you couldn't watch it at home. So he would take my brother and I to IMAX to see it.
Good man.
And then he found out we could have watched it at home and he got pissed.
Why? Like, did he not see it in IMAX?
Well, he wanted, and then that's what I told him. But like he's like big on like saving money and whatnot, even though like he has the $45 it costs for us to all go and see it.
Hey, Logan's dad.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
It's
worth it.
Yeah. And I will take them to see Dune 2 when I get home.
Me too.
I'm probably going to see Dune 2 like 3 times at home.
I anticipate 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus
I mean, I saw Oppenheimer in theaters 4 times. Yep. I saw Spider-Verse, I think, 5 in theaters.
I saw Spider-Verse 3, I think. 3 or 4.
Those are rookie numbers.
Yeah. I saw Wonka 3.
Saw Wonka 3.
Yep.
I only saw it once.
Damn.
Never even entertained the thought of a second, but...
I entertained the thought of the second and the third.
Yes, you did.
Like, the third kind of came out of nowhere, because we were going to see Night Swim, and then realized Night Swim was too late. So I was just like, how about we go see Wonka? And they were like, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's my story.
All right.
I think we are done.
I think we are.
We've been recording for almost an hour and 10 minutes.
That's way too much. I'm so sorry.
It's even longer than last time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, last time I cut it down 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'll probably be able to do something similar. But I feel like this time we had less moments where I was stupid and I was able to be like, oh, Logan, you're being stupid. I'm going to cut you out.
We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
That night when we were in the Towers Lounge, before you got there, Simona was talking about like how you like you just sit down and you just grind it and like take out 20 minutes, and you're gonna have to do more now.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, why were you like asking her about what it like looks like?
Yeah, because I was like curious what your process was compared to mine. It seems to be very similar.
Yeah.
Of just like sit down, take out those minutes, do what you have to do.
Yep. But usually I, like, entertain myself and I go on, like, Instagram or I, like, play a game on my phone.
Loser.
Know? Like, I downloaded. Look at this. Look at this beautiful
boy.
Thing. I downloaded Hungry Shark.
You downloaded Hungry Shark?
Hungry Shark.
What is Hungry Shark?
Hungry Shark is a game developed by Ubisoft where here.
This is definitely a sponsored segment.
I have not played it yet. Here you go. You can play it.
Oh, my God. Here. Oh, I had this. Oh, I had this years ago.
So you know this game?
I know this game.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with this.
This is the game I'm playing tonight while I edit.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm gonna be a Hungry Shark.
So do you just listen to it and then once you hear something
exactly.
I just intently listen through the whole thing and cut out every and like that I can.
I cut out some but not every because sometimes we'll like cut each other off or whatever.
I should do it in bigger chunks though, because like you can hear some of my edits, I think.
Also because like the other part of it is I wanna edit it like how a listener would listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't want to edit it fully like an editor because I'm not over edit.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I over edit. Definitely.
Well, you'll grow.
I'll grow.
I over-edited a lot of my first ones.
My first 5'2", ones were, like, I hope I'll grow.
I'm sorry, Ethan. I don't know how to tell you.
Yep.
But yeah. Short kings.
Ayo. All right.
I think we're done.
I think we are done.
Hour and 11 minutes.
Yep.
Gonna be an hour and 12 by the time I stop recording.
Yep.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Also, thanks for listening to Pop Off, which probably came out yesterday. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. Pop Off is popping off. What was the episode yesterday?
The episode yesterday.
Is that the Taylor Swift?
That is the Taylor Swift ranking. Yes.
Yeah. What's your like hook to get people hooked on going to listen if they haven't already?
So crazy thing happened, right? My guest, my lovely guest, Sarah Kochi, was a fool and forgot Speak Now in her ranking, and we had to completely rework the list because she forgot an album.
Wow.
So if you'd like to hear that chaos, if you'd like your ears to just be subjected to all of that tomfoolery, please listen to Pop Off, now streaming on wherever you're listening to this now.
Yeah. There you go. That's your hook.
Yeah.
You listen to Pop Off. Thank you for listening to Popcorn Premieres. And yeah, we'll
see you in the next one.
Well, we can't really see them.
We can't hear them either. Yeah.
They will hear us. In the next
one. You'll experience us in the next one.
Yeah, aka only Ethan's family.
Hi, everyone.
And goodbye.